Well, before we get into the lesson on page 47 of y'all's lessons, I noticed I had two typo errors. So you might have already noticed that. But you will see, I think it's the top of your page where it has Acts 20 and 28 right next to that. That should have been 2 Timothy instead of 1 Timothy. And the one under that, where I put 1 John 1:19, but since there isn't a 1:19, that's 1 John 1:9. So I noticed I'd put those on there in error, so apologize, but now we got that fixed. In our last class, we were just looking over, and this is some of the things we're still looking into, but as far as the apostles and examples of some of the prayers, and just as we've looked at with Jesus, this could be time in the sense of, or the times that they pray in the sense of maybe time of day, maybe the situations, okay, and the sense of those times when they come across certain types of things. And we see these similarities in the apostles' prayers as well. Come in. And where we left off in class, last class, we were looking, well, we last looked at Acts 1:24. And this was the, let me get over here. This is where they were praying about selecting an apostle. And I also listed these other verses on here, this Acts 20 and the 2 Timothy. Now, these aren't really examples of prayer, but the thought that I had behind that is because right above that I put what are some things that we can pray for. Okay, we see how they prayed for important things like selecting apostles. We see the idea of elders here in Acts 20. And we also see in 2 Timothy this idea of teachers. So just my thought that these are things that we can pray about. We can pray about, well, at the time when I made the lesson, I put upcoming as we were going to select elders or elder, and which we've already gone through that process. But, you know, that's something I hope we were all praying about. As far as praying for these men, praying for us as far as looking to their characteristics, you know, and just different things about that, and that we would be wise in these decisions. And, do you have a question? Oh, I thought I saw your hand up, sorry. And, so, that's something that we can pray about. We can pray about, and not just the selecting of elders, of course. We should always be praying for our elders, too. But the idea I was thinking of in 2 Timothy is we can pray for teachers. And also these other men that we have fellowship with that teach the gospel. So that was just a thought I had there. Did y'all have any other thoughts, or I'm not sure how y'all answered that, or if you were wondering what in the world I was talking about, or any thoughts or comments? All right. In Acts 8:22. When I was talking about Simon, it said, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. But Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing what you have said may come upon me." So Simon asked Peter to pray for him in verse 24. Okay? And I put this on here for this idea that we can pray for ourselves, of course, and for others when sin is in their life, okay? When they're troubled with sin. And I put the 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, we see here, of course, that, well, it's talking about our attitude toward this, but we see that this confessing our sins, that we can go to God about sin. And then when we look at further up in the chapter, in chapter 5, it's not just ours, our sin. In chapter 5:16, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. So we can go to God on behalf of our brother. And then in James 5, let's start in verse 14. Says, "Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up." Excuse me. "And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." So we see these ideas in these verses, how we can use prayer to pray for other people. Is there any thoughts or comments? Or okay. Just to... We're briefly going through some of these different examples. And in Acts 10:9, kind of just changes gears. Because here we're not really looking at the time of prayer in the sense of what was being prayed about. But this is a time of prayer in sense of when and where. In Acts 10:9, on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. So it says here that he went to the housetop. And just like some of the examples we saw about Jesus' examples, that he got away. You know, he made the time to get away. This idea of getting away, maybe secludedness. So he went to the housetop to pray. And it also mentions that this was the sixth hour of the day. And the bet, don't get me lying about understanding how they did their time, but from what I've read and the best I can understand, this is about noon, around noontime, is what the six-hour day is. Rocky, I know you understand a little bit how some of the time. Am I close on that? Is that
again? The Jews divided the day into two periods: the day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
And evening 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Okay.
The sixth hour you start from 6. So 6 plus 6 is noon.
Okay. So that is okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. So this idea of noontime, we've already looked in previous classes as far as the start of the day and as the end of the day, praying at the end of our day. But we also see this example of praying midday. And I'm not trying to say that there's specific times that, you know, as far as in that sense, we've got to stop what we're doing and pray at noon, but I'm just introducing the idea of the different times that we know that they prayed. It wasn't limited to in the morning or just at night. We see different times, examples of different times that they prayed, and of course we know that we're to pray at all times we pray without ceasing, but in different types of prayer as well. Any comments or thoughts on?
He was also traveling.
Okay. Okay. That's a good point. So it wasn't just in his normal daily routine, I guess, if you could say, at home or what, but he even showed this when he's kind of out doing not in your normal routine.
Was he traveling, or was that when Cornelius was coming to him? That Cornelius was traveling to Peter.
That was Cornelius.
Was it? Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Someone was traveling.
Yeah. Still good point.
Since he was always traveling.
Yeah, that's true. Still good point, though. In Acts 13:3. Says then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. What was it talking about at this situation right here? What was taking place? What were they sending them away on?
You mean the first journey.
Okay, so they were praying for them on this journey that they were about to take on. So they prayed for this missionary journey for Barnabas and Paul, or Saul. And again, this is just another point. I'm just showing different times that we have examples of when these men prayed. So, you know, as far as here, well, this is a missionary journey. Maybe, we just spoke about teachers. Maybe we could pray about meetings when Steve's gone to teach others and things like that. Do we pray for him? And I know we do. I hear it in the prayers, but it's just a thought. You know, do we pray for him and his influence on these that he's going to be teaching? Any thoughts or comments? Okay, in Romans 15, I see a similar idea. Romans 15:30-31. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. So we see this similar idea. We need to pray for preachers and these preacher trips, when Steve goes out on trips, and even these other men that we support, and pray that they might be successful in teaching these others, and pray for their strength. And we can even pray for opportunities as well, like in Colossians.
Yeah, that's a good point that about Steve, and because a lot of times, you know, we do. I hear prayers that there's safe travel,
right?
That he gets there safe and comes home safe, along with those traveling with him,
right?
But I think I know for myself, sometimes I miss that section in between that he's well received once he gets there,
right?
You know, that they're gonna take what he has and apply it, and it's well received, and then he's treated with grace and hospitality like we treat those that come to us.
Right. That's a good point, because, and we've heard some places it might not be
very hospitable.
Yeah, some of the things I'm not sure that he's ever been received in a negative way. I mean, as far as being invited there, of course. I could be wrong, I'm sure, but... But
he gets there and starts teaching the message, are they
right.
going to receive it well?
Correct. And that's a real good thing to pray about. And even, like you said, maybe the hospitality, because I know... I think we can easily take men like him for granted, because we can think, well, he's done this for so long and he's a good student, which he is. But that doesn't mean he doesn't need encouragement. We all need encouragement. And when he goes to places like that, we need to keep that in mind when we have people visiting us. When he goes to places like that, we don't want him to be discouraged. He's there for a reason, and he's there to teach, and not that that would necessarily get in his way of doing that, but we still need to keep that in mind. Good point. Are there any other comments or thoughts on that? Yes, sir.
There in Colossians, something I never caught before, about opening the door. The last part it says, as Paul says, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. You know, Paul was supposed to make the mystery known. Here he says, is make forth the mystery of Christ. And then it kind of builds upon that in verse 4, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak.
Right.
So, I think that's a prayer we pray for ourselves when we ask for doors of opportunity to be open, and they say the right words, and be clear that we get the message across as clear as possible so the other person that can receive it well. So,
can receive it or respond to it.
And do it in a manner that we can, you know, make truth be known and not be tongue-tied and
right.
Maybe get off track, or maybe you should
stand
on track.
Yes, sir. Very good point. Any other thoughts or comments? No? Yes, sir.
I just made an observation about, from a standpoint of experience, how to play and how to pray about whether it's Steve or other men. I don't know about you, but when I look at this congregation and we have men here come in, as long as I've been here, to my knowledge, hospitality here has been great. People have always been respectful and test, of course, they test what's said.
Right.
By
well,
people
it should.
Visiting here. It should. But it has been in a very, even that, in a very positive way. That is not always the case, largely is with Steve, and the basis of what I know. But there are times when hospitality is very limited.
Right.
The friendliness is not unfriendly, but it's not, they don't reach out. So that can be a discouragement.
Right.
But I think what's more important, I think he'd probably say this, and probably most preachers that have worked their salt would say it, when they go on a meeting, like any kind of meeting or any opportunity to preach, their main emphasis and desire is that the word finds a home and that people receive it. Of course, he's been places where that has not been, I won't say it hasn't happened, it's just been more difficult. Some are more difficult than the others. But as you all know, I mean, if you read reports of men we support, there are a lot of men that they're day in and day out teaching in environments that are not nearly as receptive as you have maybe here or some other places we know about. So it is, I mean, as Paul asked, that certainly applies to the men that we know, I guess men in general that preach the gospel, and those men and women that teach. I mean, world is not receptive,
right,
as a matter of, you know, in terms of the general population. So it's a good prayer. It's a good thing to be thinking about, considering. But the other side of it is, let's not fall into the trap either. I think some of us can't. Where we measure, kind of judge what's probably going on elsewhere by what we see here. That's not always the case.
Good point. Yeah, because I know a lot of the trips that you and Linda have been on with them, so I know you know how sometimes they've been received and not received.
Nobody's thrown us in jail.
Or throw stones at you.
So it's been positive in that sense. Thank you, Wally. So we see this idea how we can pray for preachers and teachers and these other men that we support. And there's many examples that we didn't look at. I listed some more examples on the bottom. We're not going to read them. But I put them there if you're wanting to read them. They're there to show some of the other places where examples of the apostles praying, sorry. So are there any other comments or thoughts before we go into our next? We're going to go into Roman numeral 7, public prayer.
I know that it's probably understood that when you pray for someone else's sins, you can pray for them, but ultimately it's their will that has to change. So maybe in wording our prayer, because, you know, that their will would be the Lord's will.
Okay.
Because they're the only one that can change their life.
Right.
And we have the opportunity to pray for them.
Okay. Well, of course, when there's sin, we do have to repent of that. Is that what you're talking about? So they would see their sin and repent of it? Okay.
Right. And then just in general, like praying for Kayla and Catherine and Christina that are away, that in their everyday life, that they would want to do God's will.
Okay. Yeah, we've, like in some of the other classes, that's true. I mean, praying for these, well, I say kids, these young adults, I guess, as they're away at school, because I could only imagine some of the stuff they might be faced with, the influence that they have. So hopefully we can pray that maybe they'll be the influence instead of the influence, because, I mean, it's out there in the world. I mean, we're all in the world, as far as having to live in it. But as far as praying for these that are going to school, because some of them, I know, well, like y'all's kids, they're not at home. They're at schools away. But even the ones that would be at home, still the influence that they have at school because of things that they might be influenced by. And also, like we looked at, if we're going to move, I mean, there's several different things we could pray about that are similar things like that. Because as far as moving away, and you, which in those cases, they did move away, and so they're the group that they meet with, that they might find a good group that would keep them strong, because they don't have maybe the normal system, I guess you could say, that they used to have as far as being at home, maybe having that strength there, so they need brethren where they're at that they can be strong and be encouraged by. Any other comments or thoughts? No? Okay, well, let's go into public prayer. As we know, in public assembly, there's one who leads us in prayer. Okay? Now, this person directs our thoughts by expressing either petitions or praise, thanksgiving, and concerns. They do this by going to the throne of God. Now, each saint in the assembly listens. And if what is said is the sentiments or the thoughts that they had in their heart, then they say, amen. And by doing this, we're saying, basically, we agree. It's like this morning when Rocky led us. And we don't necessarily have to say amen aloud. We can still agree, and which we'll, a little bit further, I think we'll hit that part today. We'll see this idea as far as verbal and non-verbal. But when we're saying amen, we're saying that we agree with what was said. Now, in 1 Chronicles, and this, I've just given this just for an example. 1 Chronicles 16:36, we see an example of this. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting." Then all the people said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16, we can maybe have a little better understanding of this word, amen. It says, "If you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying?" So we understand something about the connection of this amen is being able to understand what is being said. So how can this one that is not versed in the spiritual gifts say amen if he does not know what is being said? So this helps define the word for us. So just as what we have looked at, it is clear that we have to know and understand what is being said in order to say, "I agree." I mean, to truly mean it. Yes.
Okay, so what if you agree with most of what's said, but not everything? Do you still say amen?
I think that's a good question. I'm not sure I'm prepared to answer that question. But no, that's okay. No, just because I can't answer it doesn't mean don't ask it. One thing you definitely want to consider when someone's leading a prayer. Okay, they're leading the prayer. Doesn't necessarily mean my prayer is word for word agreeing with theirs. I mean, let's say Rocky's, like this morning, we'll just take that example. He's praying about something. And maybe based off what he's praying, I'm maybe praying similar things, but maybe in a sense, like you were talking about, maybe something said that you might not totally agree with, you might word your prayer to yourself differently. As far as answering that question, I'm not really prepared to answer that. I don't know. But to me, that is something you have to consider, as far as, because it's still, you're still praying, okay? He's leading, but you're still praying. So what you're saying in your heart, that is heard. Doesn't have to be verbal. So I hope that helps some. I don't know. Wally? Yes. Shall we move on?
I mean, public prayer to me has always been kind of interesting phenomena.
Okay.
I mean, it's no question it's authorized.
Right.
You know, practice. We see examples of it all the time. You see examples for men in the Old Testament in particular would pray for the congregation and things of that nature. And the congregation, you know, it's like here, would answer amen. They were listening, presumably listening and agreeing to and saying their amen to. But prayer is not between that man, between you. That man does not conduct a prayer for you.
Right.
It's your prayer. I mean, you know, you may listen to what he says and agree with it and amen everything he says. It may not even be everything he thinks. But well, you don't know what he's thinking.
Right.
Except for what he's saying.
That's a good point.
So it can be very well. You can make very well amen what he says, and he might be thinking some of the worst things in the world. Amen what he's thinking. And really, what God's saying in that man's prayer is not what he's saying, except to the extent it aligns with his heart. That's what God's hearing. And the same is true with you. And no matter what that man's saying, you would be grieved with every word. Your prayer may or may not be going up to God and being acceptable because of what your attitude and heart is.
Okay.
And it doesn't, I know where I come down on the question. You know, I can't say amen. Personally, I wouldn't say amen to somebody who is saying things I don't agree with.
If you don't agree, right.
I just wouldn't do it. And maybe that's why the hesitation of a lot of men to say amen
right.
publicly. I don't know. We don't do that here much, anymore. But some places you be, a lot of people say, amen, it's just a habit. You don't want to do
right.
that.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
I think. But when somebody leads public prayer, you know, it's a really interesting phenomenon. There's nothing wrong in the public prayer. We do it all the time and follow along and to amen what's said. But in that, you know, you're the one, ultimately, you're the one that's going to have to pray to God. Now, it may be with that person praying, or maybe, frankly, now you're not even hearing what he's saying.
Right.
You're all praying something else. And that's well and good.
Right. Yeah, because, well, sometimes when they start off a prayer, we might start in that thought, and then our thoughts might go a different track. And then in that sense, I might say amen to myself. I don't, in that sense, I don't say it out loud, and I don't know y'all's take on that, but
well, it's an interesting phenomenon. I mean, you're praying to God,
right?
And at the end of the day, if you're in private prayer, for example, nobody else is around, right? And you pray along, you get to the end.
Do you say amen? I mean, and no one's there to agree with you.
I have no idea what anybody does.
Yeah,
you know, I wouldn't be surprised. It's just out of there's certain things we tend to fall into trap happens, and that may be one of them.
Using amen as like a close to the prayer instead
it
of agreement.
It almost gets to be that way, probably. Yeah. I mean, you know, in some cases it's not. Nice. You know, I don't know what's in everybody's heart. God does.
Right. Ryan, do you have a thought?
The way I see a public leader of a prayer is a guide, like their leader. What leaders usually do is just guide you to where you're supposed to be. And the way I see it, someone that does a public prayer out loud to with an assembly is to remind people of what to think about.
Okay.
All the time. That's the way I see it.
Okay.
Yeah, just one last comment on that. Yes. For those who read public prayer, I can't speak for everybody else. Maybe I don't speak for myself half the time, but I stand up in front of the audience. You're not up there to, I'm not trying to say this. Sometimes we'll say things for the benefit of the audience, of no use to us. I mean, I'm not in prayer. I'm just talking about speaking. I say of no use. We may know something that we need to convey to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we say it. We need to say it because it's something on our heart, but we need it to know ourselves or need to talk out ourselves. It's something that we need to convey to people. You can be in leadership and you can say things to lead people when the object of your words are the people, not, in the case of prayer, not God.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether it's public or private prayer. The prayer is between you and God. If you're a man, you're standing up front of an audience, leading a prayer, that prayer is between you and God. There happens to be people standing around, hearing it, or sitting around hearing it. But that prayer ought to be between you and God.
Right.
And not for show. We don't want to be
Pharisees. Yes, sir. And we'll see some of this and some of the further lessons, not as far as the show part, but as far as this, how this prayer is between you and God, like what we mentioned.
Sorry, I'm going to make one other comment.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Where everybody at?
No, well, we're getting close.
When the disciples want to know how to pray, actually, amen. Jesus, in that prayer, or telling them how to pray, added amen to the end.
Yes, sir.
It was a private prayer context. So, I mean,
it's a good thought.
You know, so just, in terms of prayer, there's a lot of, you have to look at what the Bible, you want to understand kind of how that works. What righteous men did. You know, a lot of places, like somebody said, Lisa or Pam, somebody said, you're blatantly afraid for somebody's forgiveness when they have absolutely no desire.
Right.
Change.
Right. Any other comments, thoughts? Any more, Wally?
No. Sorry.
No. I'm just picking on you. And I listed Deuteronomy 27. We're not going to read all that. That was just to show where Moses was speaking about these different things, and after each thing, when he was talking about, say, what cursed is this, or whatever, and then they would agree. And I just put that in there for example, because you see over and over and over this idea, what he would say something, and they were agreeing. Kind of on the lines of what we were just talking about in public prayer, although only one is heard, all pray. If that's saying if you are praying, of course. Although only one is speaking out loud, all are speaking within. And as Waldo was pointing out, it doesn't necessarily mean you're speaking the same thing as what the guy leading is, but at this point, you're still praying, but you're praying to God. And only one expresses audibly or loud, and and but all are expressing personally. So prayer does not have to be audible to be prayer. That was one of the points that I wanted to look at next. God, as was just mentioned by the comments, God hears our heart. And it doesn't necessarily have to be verbal. Of course, in this situation where the man is leading, of course the one in lead has to be verbal. But when we're speaking to God, because that's what we're doing when we pray, it doesn't have to be aloud. Let's look at 1 Samuel. I know we've already looked at the example of Hannah, but we haven't really... we didn't really touch this point about it. Well, number one, was Hannah praying?
Yes.
Okay. We see in verse 19, I mean, she had to have been praying. It said that God remembered her. So whatever took place, for some reason, God remembered her. But does it show here that anywhere here she was speaking out loud?
Well, no, because they thought she was...
He said he saw her mouth moving. The words.
And no word. Yeah, Eli right. thought she was drunk. Huh?
Right.
So, but we can see that she wasn't speaking aloud. Eli thought she was drunk. Verse 13 even said, like what y'all talking about, her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So, this shows that she was praying, but what she was doing, she was speaking from her heart or in her heart. And verse 15 says that she poured out her heart, or poured out her soul before the Lord. So we see that it was recognized as prayer. But prayer is not always audible. Any thoughts or comments on that? So we've got about 1 minute. So I think we'll pick up here. Yes, sir, Rocky.
Just with Hannah praying, it's kind of interesting why Eli thought that she was drunk. Kind of, you know, someone just praying and just mouth speaking. You wouldn't think the person would be drunk. But Eli definitely thought that she was drunk. Interesting in the New American Standard in verse 12, it says, it came about as she continued praying before the Lord. And a little footnote on continued says, multiplied. And I guess the sense I can figure out on this one is that she must have been really, you know, really into it and multiplied, you know, really speaking, you know, I mean, not verbally, but, you know, something that was a continual thing that's happening here. You know, it was maybe a little bit annoying to Eli that he thought something was going on with her.
Okay.
And I just kind of find it, I never caught that before, you know, it didn't seem logical that he would think she'd be drunk. All I can surmise is that she must have been really involved here, really depressed, and just over and over and over again. And, you know,
well, one,
she could have been emotional. I mean, she was pouring out her soul. I mean, she was emotional.
Right, but, well, one thing I think of, if I was to walk down the street and I see some guy walking by me that's just kind of mumbling to himself, I don't necessarily think he's praying. He could be, but that
would be crazy.
Yeah, that's just kind of the feeling I get. She's over, the lips are moving, nothing's coming out, so, you know, I don't know. That's just my thought there.
Yep.
Well, thank y'all for y'all's attention.